I again want to welcome you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of this sermon is Feast Upon the Words of Christ. And as I think about that title, I think about the many times that we've heard ministers come up here and read the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. And I would like to start out by reading out of the fifth chapter of Matthew. Beginning in the first verse. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I think it would be good of us to read through those on our own time, slowly, and meditate upon the words, concentrate on them, study them, and ask ourselves if our heart is in that place, if we if that's speaking of us. I want to turn to 2 Nephi chapter 14. And here Nephi teaches about baptism. And after he teaches, he understands by the Spirit of God that those who are there among them ponder in their hearts what they should do after they are baptized. Beginning in the first verse of chapter 14, second book of Nephi, it says, And now behold, my beloved brethren, I suppose that ye ponder somewhat in your hearts concerning that which ye should do after that ye have entered in by the way. But behold, why do ye ponder these things in your hearts? Do ye not remember that I said unto you that after ye had received the Holy Ghost, ye could speak with the tongue of angels? And in chapter 13, it defines what that tongue of angels is. It's the words of Christ. It says, and now, in continuing in verse 3, and now, how could ye speak the tongue of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, wherefore they speak the words of Christ. I'm sorry, that's where it defines what the tongue of angels is right there. The words of Christ. Verse 4, Wherefore I said unto you, Feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things that ye should do. Wherefore now, after I have spoken these words, if ye cannot understand them, it will be because ye ask not, neither do ye knock. Wherefore ye are not brought into the light, but must perish in the dark. This is a clear key in the Word of God of what we must do. We must feed upon the words of Christ. Many who have gone before us have given their lives that we might have the Word of God. God gave his word to prophets, and they were slaughtered because they were willing to speak the Word of God. And then 11 out of the 12 apostles were then killed because they were, because they stood by the Word of God. They wrote it. They lived it. And so because of those martyrs of the past, we have his word available to us that we might draw close to God. Verse 5, wherefore now after I have spoken these words, if ye cannot understand them, it will be because ye ask not, neither do ye knock. Wherefore ye are not brought into the light, but must perish in the dark. For behold, again I say unto you, that if ye will enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it will shew unto you all things what ye should do. And so we have that Holy Ghost given to us, those who have made a covenant with Christ and entered into those waters of baptism to witness that we are willing to follow him to the end. We have that Holy Ghost, and we have the Word of God. We have everything available to us to draw near unto him. One of those who risked their lives that we might have God's word was Nephi. And he sought the records that his uncle Laban had and which were the five books of Moses and many of the prophets. And he risked his life because he trusted God and because he knew that his people would need the Word of God. And I want to read the vision God gave Nephi after he asked God that he might see what his father saw. And I'm going to begin in 1 Nephi chapter 3, verse 39. And the Spirit saith unto me, behold, what desirest thou? And I said, I desire to behold the things which my father saw. And the Spirit saith unto me, believest thou that thy father saw the tree of which he hath spoken? And I said, yea, thou knowest that I believe all the words of my father. And when I had spoken these words, the Spirit cried with a loud voice, saying, Hosanna to the Lord and the Most High God. For he is God over all the earth, even above all. And blessed art thou, Nephi, because thou believest in the Son of the Most High God. Wherefore thou shalt behold the things which thou hast desired. And behold, this thing shall be given unto thee for a sign, that after thou hast beheld the tree, which bore the fruit which thy father tasted, thou shalt also behold a man descending out of heaven, and him shall ye witness, and after that ye have witnessed him, ye shall bear record that it is the Son of God. And it came to pass that the Spirit saith unto me, look, and I looked, and I beheld a tree, and it was like unto the tree which my father had seen, And the beauty thereof was far beyond, yea, exceeding of all beauty. And the whiteness thereof did exceed the whiteness of the driven snow. And it came to pass that after I had seen the tree, I said unto the Spirit, I behold, thou hast shewn unto me the tree which is most precious above all. And he saith unto me, what desirest thou? And I said unto him to know the interpretation thereof. For I spake unto him as a man speaketh, for I beheld that he was in the form of a man. Yet nevertheless, I knew that it was the Spirit of the Lord. And he spake unto me as a man speaketh with another. And it came to pass that I beheld unto and it came to pass that he said unto me, look. And I looked as if to look upon him, and I saw him not, for he had gone from my presence. And so then what unfolds to Nephi is the scene of the virgin birth and the condescension of God, God taking upon himself flesh. And then the angel says to Nephi in verse 63, knowest thou the meaning of the tree which thy father saw? And I answered him, saying, yea, it is the love of God. So that tree that his father tasted of, was the fruit that his father tasted of came from that tree, which was the love of God. It says, and I answered him, saying, yea, it is the love of God. He had seen this vision of the condescension of God and the virgin birth. And he knew that it was the love of God, which sheddeth itself abroad in the hearts of the children of men. Wherefore, it is the most desirable above all things. And he spake unto me, saying, yea, and the most joyous to the soul. And you and I have tasted of that love when we were baptized. We've tasted of that joy. And when we draw closest to him, we taste of that joy. When we're allowed to be used by him, we taste of that joy. When we read the word of God and we read about men such as Ammon and his brothers and their willingness to risk their lives that the will of God might be done in their lives, we taste of that joy. Verse 65, and he spake unto me, saying, yea, the most joyous to the soul. And after that he had said these words, he said unto me, look. And I looked, and I beheld the Son of God going forth among the children of men. And I saw many fall down at his feet and worship. And it came to pass that I beheld that rod of iron, which my father had seen. And this is the part that I want to emphasize, the importance of the word of God. And it came to pass that I beheld that the rod of iron which my father had saw was the word of God, which led to the fountain of living waters, or to the tree of life, which waters are a representation of the love of God. And also beheld the tree of life was a representation of the love of God. And so that word of God led to that tree, which was the love of God. It was the means by which we can make it to that tree. And the angel said unto me, look, and behold the condescension of God. And I looked, and beheld the Redeemer of the world, of which my father had spoken. And I also beheld the prophet, which should prepare the way before him. And the Lamb of God went forth and was baptized of him. And after that he was baptized, I beheld the heavens open, and the Holy Ghost came down out of heaven and abode upon him in the form of a dove. And I beheld that he went forth ministering unto the people in power and great glory, and the multitudes were gathered together to hear him. And I beheld that they cast him out from among them. And I also beheld 12 others following him. And it came to pass that they were carried away in the spirit from before my face, that I saw them not. And it came to pass that the angel spake unto me, saying, Look, and I looked, and I beheld the heavens open again, and I saw angels descending upon the children of men, and they did minister unto them. And he spake unto me again, saying, Look, and I looked, and I beheld the Lamb of God going forth among the children of men. And I beheld multitudes of people which were sick, and which were afflicted of all manner of diseases, and with devils and unclean spirits. And the angels spake and shewed all these things unto me, and they were healed by the power of the Lamb of God, and the devils and the unclean spirits were cast out. And it came to pass that the angel spake unto me, saying, Look, and I looked, and beheld the Lamb of God, and he was taken by the people, yea, the Son of the everlasting God was judged of the world. And I saw and bear record. And I, Nephi, saw that he was lifted up upon the cross and slain for the sins of the world. And after that he was slain, I saw the multitudes of the earth. And they were gathered together to fight against the apostles of the Lamb. And thus were the 12 called by the angel of the Lord. And the multitude of the earth was gathered together. And I beheld that they were in a large and spacious building, like unto the building which my father saw. And the angel of the Lord spake unto me again, Behold, the world and the wisdom thereof, that building. Yea, behold, the house of Israel hath gathered together to fight against the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And it came to pass that I saw and bear record that the great and spacious building was the pride of the world, the wisdom of the world and the pride of the world. And it fell, and the fall thereof was exceeding great. And the angel of the Lord spake unto me again, saying, Thus shall be the destruction of all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people that shall fight against the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And when we follow the wisdom of the world, when we have pride, we are fighting against the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The devil battles that way. He causes us to have pride and try to make us follow our own way and our own will. In this vision, the Lord showed to Nephi and is showing us that the way to his love and the way to him is through his word. The importance of feasting upon his word. And when we do, if we are reading it with real intent to understand, we are humbled by the presence of God and by our own need of him, our own need of God. But we have an enemy that seeks to destroy us as well as the rest of the world, who desires to help us follow his way or our own way. And so we have that battle in our lives. Pride, selfishness versus humility and feasting upon the word of God. Nephi sees after this a vision of prophecy of things to come upon this land through his people. And also, he sees prophecies of our time. And I'm going to continue in 1 Nephi chapter 3, verse 183. I'm going to start in verse 181. And it came to pass that the angel of the Lord spake unto me, saying, Behold, saith the Lamb of God, after that I have visited the remnant of the house of Israel, and this remnant of which I speak is the seed of thy father, wherefore, after I have visited them in judgment and smitten them by the hand of the Gentiles, and after the Gentiles do stumble exceedingly because of the most plain and precious parts of the gospel of the Lamb, which have been kept back by that abominable church, which is the mother of harlots, saith the Lamb. Wherefore I will be merciful unto the Gentiles in that day, saith the Lamb, insomuch that I will bring forth unto them in mine own power much of my gospel, which shall be plain and precious, saith the Lamb. For behold, saith the Lamb, I will manifest myself unto thy seed, that they shall write many things which I shall minister unto them, which shall be plain and precious. And that we have here in the Book of Mormon. And after that thy seed shall be destroyed and dwindle in unbelief, and also the seed of thy brethren, behold, these things shall be hid up to come forth unto the Gentiles by the gift and power of the Lamb. And in them shall be written, My gospel, saith the Lamb, and my rock and my salvation. And blessed are they which shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day, for they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. And if they endure unto the end, they shall be lifted up at the last day and shall be saved in the everlasting kingdom of the Lamb. I want to stop there just a moment, because it says, blessed are they which shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day. Do we seek to bring forth his Zion? Do we seek to bring forth the word of God to those of the lost tribes of the house of Israel, or to those of the house of Israel who we know of today? Do we desire to share this word and this gospel with them so that we can see and be a part of that, the fulfilling of prophecy of these last days, so that we can bring them the light of salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they might learn of him. Verse 188, and if they endure unto the end, they shall be lifted up at the last day and shall be saved in the everlasting kingdom of the Lamb. Yea, whoso shall publish peace, the gospel of Christ, that shall publish tidings of great joy, how beautiful upon the mountains shall they be. What a promise to those of us who desire that, to bring forth his gospel to others, to the house of Israel, to the Gentiles, that he wants us to bring it to. And it came to pass that I beheld the remnant of the seed of thy brethren, and also the book of the Lamb of God, which had proceeded forth from the mouth of the Jew, and I beheld that it came forth from the Gentiles unto the remnant of the seed of my brethren. And after it came forth unto them, I beheld other books which came forth by the power of the Lamb from the Gentiles unto them, unto the convincing of the Gentiles and the remnant of the seed of my brethren, and also to the Jews, which were scattered upon all the face of the earth, that the records of the prophets and of the 12 apostles of the Lamb are true. So this word establishes the truth and the validity of the book of the prophets, which is the Old Testament, and the book the 12 apostles of the Lamb, which is the New Testament. What an importance, how important is this Word of God that we have in the Book of Mormon? And if we know it, if we read it and know it, feast upon it, what a tool we can be in God's hands. Verse 192, "And the angel spake unto me, these last records which thou hast seen among the Gentiles shall establish the truth of the first, which are of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, and shall make known the plain and precious things which have been taken away from them." And how plain and precious they truly are. What light they bring to us when we read them and we feast upon them and when we know them. And when we're just thinking about something, you know, or having a conversation, and suddenly the Word of God comes to our mind because we feasted upon it. And because His Spirit is there to remind us of it. What a great thing that is. 1 Nephi chapter 4, verse 35. Nephi's brothers had hardened their hearts to the Word of God. Actually, I'm going to start in verse 1. And it says in verse 1, "And it came to pass that after I, Nephi, had been carried away in the spirit and seen all these things, I returned to the tent of my father. And it came to pass that I beheld my brethren, and they were disputing one with another concerning the things which my father had spoken unto them. And he truly spake many great things unto them, which were hard to be understood, save a man should inquire of the Lord." How many times throughout the Word of God does it say, "Ask, and ye shall receive"? We just read it once in 2nd Book of Nephi, chapter 14, when it talked about feasting upon the words of God. And it said, "Ask, and ye shall receive." And here it's saying again that these things are hard to be understood unless we ask. And God is so good to answer when we ask with real intent to know. And when we ask for those good things, like, "What does your word mean?" That we might understand and do His will. Verse 4, "And they being hard in their hearts, therefore they did not look unto the Lord as they ought. And now I, Nephi, was grieved because of the hardness of their hearts, and also because of the things which I had seen, and knew they must unavoidably come to pass because of the great wickedness of the children of men." And if you'll remember in the dream, Lehi also saw Laman and Lemuel, that they did not come unto him when he was at the tree. And that's what Nephi's talking about. Him grieving over. But I want to turn now to verse 35. And Laman and Lemuel ask, his brothers ask about this tree and this rod of iron, and I just want to reemphasize the meaning of those. "And it came to pass that they did speak unto me again, saying, What meaneth the thing which our father saw in a dream? What meaneth the tree which he saw? And I said unto them, It is a representation of the tree of life." Remember in the other place it said, the love of God. "And they said unto me, What meaneth the rod of iron which our father saw, that led to the tree? And I said unto them, It was the word of God. And whosoever would hearken unto the word of God." And how can we really hearken unto the word of God unless we read it and feast upon it and know it? And I said unto them that it was the word of God, and whosoever would hearken unto the word of God and would hold fast unto it, believe it, cleave to it, remember it when we're going through our trials. Hold fast unto it. Whosoever would hearken unto the word of God and would hold fast unto it, they would never perish. What a promise. Neither could the temptations and the fiery darts of the adversary overpower them unto blindness. And I don't know if you remember, I think it's the sixth chapter of Ephesians, that the armor of God and those fiery darts, those temptations, and that shield of faith that's held up. What is that faith? Well, it's that faith in the Word of God. So we must read it and know it to have faith in it. Neither could the temptations and the fiery darts of the adversary overpower them unto blindness, to lead them away to destruction. Wherefore I, Nephi, did exhort them to give heed unto the word of God, of the Lord. Yea, I did exhort them with all the energies of my soul and with all the faculty which I possess, that they would give heed to the word of God and remember to keep his commandments always in all things. That is good. By the word of God, we may know good from evil. Let's turn to Moroni chapter 7, beginning in verse 10. Wherefore, all things which are good cometh of God, and that which is evil cometh of the devil, for the devil is an enemy unto God, and fighteth against him continually, and inviteth and enticeth to sin, and to do that which is evil continually. But behold, that which is of God inviteth and enticeth to do good continually. Therefore, everything which inviteth and enticeth to do good and to love God and to serve him is inspired of God. Wherefore, take heed, my beloved brethren, that ye do not judge that which is evil to be of God, and that which is good and of God to be of the devil. For behold, my brethren, it is given unto you to judge, that ye may know good from evil, and the way to judge is as plain, that ye may know with a perfect knowledge, as the daylight is from the dark night. For behold, the Spirit of Christ is given to every man, that they may know good from evil. Wherefore I shew unto you the way to judge, for everything which inviteth to do good, and to persuade to believe in Christ is sent forth by the power and gift of Christ. Wherefore ye may know with a perfect knowledge it is of God. But whatsoever thing persuadeth men to do evil and believe not in Christ and deny him and serve not God, then ye may know with a perfect knowledge it is of the devil. For after this manner doth the devil work, for he persuadeth no man to do good, no, not one. Neither doth his angels, neither do they which subject themselves unto him. And now, my brethren, seeing that ye know the light by which ye may judge, which light is the light of Christ, see that ye do not judge wrongfully, for with that same judgment which ye judge, ye shall also be judged. Wherefore I beseech of you, brethren, that ye should search diligently in the light of Christ. And what should we search? The word of God. And we should search God, ask him, that by his Holy Spirit he might teach us and show us that light. It says, search diligently in the light of Christ, that ye may know good from evil. And if ye will lay hold upon every good thing, and condemn it not, ye certainly will be a child of Christ. And now, my brethren, how is it possible that ye can lay hold upon every good thing? And now I come to that faith which I said I would speak. And I will tell you the way whereby ye may lay hold upon every good thing. For behold, God knoweth all things. Being from everlasting to everlasting, behold, he sent angels to minister unto the children of men to make manifest concerning the coming of Christ. And they did do that. And it was written, and in Christ there should come every good thing. And God also declared unto the prophets by his own mouth that Christ should come. And he did do that. And it was written, and behold, there were diverse ways that he did manifest things unto the children of men, which were good, and all things which are good cometh of Christ. Otherwise men were fallen, and there could no good thing come unto them. Wherefore, by the ministering of angels, and by every word which proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God, men began to exercise faith in Christ. And thus, by faith, I just want to read that again. And by every word which proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God, men began to exercise faith in Christ. When I think of that, I'm reminded of when I first read, and when I, every time I read the story of Ammon and his brothers, the faith that it gives me in God, what they were, you know, the faith that they exemplified and what they were able to do because of their faith, what God taught them in the wilderness, when they were in depression and ready to turn back before their trip to visit the Lamanites. And he gave them faith and he gave them strength. And when I read of them, or when I read throughout the Bible and Book of Mormon, of those who believed in the Word of God and lived it by faith, there's a whole list of them in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, of those who gave a good report by faith. When I read of them, my faith is strengthened. And so it says, by every word which proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God, men began to exercise faith. I'm going to stop again. Feast upon the word of God, upon the words of Christ, that your faith might be strengthened. And thus by faith they did lay hold upon every good thing, and thus it was until the coming of Christ. And after that he came, men also were saved by faith in his name. And by faith they become the sons of God. And assuredly, as Christ liveth, he spake these words unto our fathers, saying, whatsoever thing ye shall ask, here it is again, whatsoever thing ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is good, in faith believing ye shall receive, behold, it shall be done unto you. What a promise that is over and over. Anything we want to know of him that's good, anything we want to do for him that's good. Of course, he's the judge of what's good and what's right, not us. It shall be done unto you. Recently, I recognized in my life and in my that I was missing that daily word of God, reading it. And I recognized the effect that it had. And so I've gotten back into the decision of reading the word of God, trying to daily with my children. And what a blessing it is. I notice the effect on my children and on myself. How important it is that we study the Word of God, that we read it, that we know it. I'm going to conclude this sermon with Alma chapter 17. Verse 78. And before I do that, I want to remind us that our brother D.A. has formed a group, an online group, where daily scriptures can come to your email. I think this year we're doing the New Testament. But what an opportunity to be reminded to read the Word of God. And you can do that in addition to your daily study, so that you're reading through the New Testament. Alma chapter 17, verse 78. "And now, my son, I would that ye should understand that these things are not without a shadow. I don't want to start there. Let me start somewhere where... Okay, let me just give you an understanding of what we're talking about here. Alma's talking to his son Helaman about the Liahona that their fathers had, that Lehi had to guide them. That compass that they had to guide them to where they should go. And it says, "And now, my son, I would that you should understand that these things were not without a shadow. For as our fathers were slothful to give heed to this compass, now these things were temporal. They did not prosper." So if they did not give heed to the compass, this instrument that God had given them, they did not prosper in their journey. They did not prosper in the path that the Lord wanted them to go. Even so it is with things which are spiritual. For behold, it is easy to give heed to the word of Christ, which will point you to a straight course to eternal bliss. As it was for our fathers to give heed to this compass, which would point unto them a straight course to the promised land. And now I say, is there not a type in this thing? For just as surely as this director did bring our fathers by following its course to the promised land, shall the words of Christ, if we follow their course, carry us beyond this veil of sorrow, into a far better land of promise. Oh, my son, do not let us be slothful because of the easiness of the way. For so was it with our fathers. For so was it prepared for them, that if they would look, they might live. Even so it is with us. The way is prepared, and if we will look, we may live forever. And now, my son, see that ye take care of these sacred things. Yea, see that ye look to God and live." That is our message tonight. Look to God, read his word, study it, know it, believe in it, and live.